Today we're going to talk about a spirit of curiosity. A spirit of curiosity. Now, all of us have had moments in life where we were curious about a person, a story, or maybe a theory. I know when I first heard of the butterfly effect, my mind was filled with curiosity. In case you've never heard of the butterfly effect, it is the idea that something small, seemingly trivial events may ultimately result in something with much larger consequences. In other words, technologically, it says they have nonlinear impacts on very complex systems. Now, let me give you an example. So the idea was thought to believe that when a butterfly flaps its wings in India, that tiny change in air pressure would eventually cause a tornado in Iowa. Now, I think it's obvious why I would have a spirit of curiosity about this theory. I mean, how in the world could something so insignificant as the brush of a butterfly's wings create something as destructive as a tornado? Now, what I come to learn through my curiosity is that this explanation is not intended to be interpreted literally. Rather, it is a metaphor for a field of mathematics called the chaos theory. And the metaphor is simply meant to demonstrate that little insignificant events can lead to significant results over time. Now, if I had not had a spirit of curiosity about the butterfly effect, one of two things would have happened. I would either have went through life accusing people who spoke of this as if they were irrational, you know, cuckoo, cuckoo kind of people, right? Or I would have believed every time I went outside and I whisked my hand like that, when I heard of a natural wind disaster on the other side of the world, I'd have been riddled with guilt because I'd have thought that my hand swish was the cause of these people's disaster. Now, I know that sounds ludicrous, but think about it. How many of us have been guilty of being gullible and embodying something that is presented with a false narrative? And how many of us have dismissed something for years and learned how valuable that piece of information was? And here is my point. All of us have an investigative gene within. But a spirit of curiosity is different than a spirit of suspicion. And even though the differences may be veiled, it is very, very real. How many of you all remember the story about Moses when he saw the burning bush? His curiosity drawed him to the bush, right? And what he saw, he could not imagine. Like he could not imagine all that God was going to do through his life. But how many of us remember the story of Saul and King David? Or actually it was King Saul then and the boy named David. And after he had his victory and they sang about him in the streets, Saul looked at him with a suspicious eye. And his suspicion had never allowed him to see anything different in David's life. You see, suspicion is the act of suspecting something wrong without proof or evidence. But curiosity is to be open to interpretation, divested of unprejudiced wisdom. Now, it's important that we grasp this particular understanding, for this is the lens through which our text will be reflected today. We're going to look at an encounter between Jesus and a man who was not just a Pharisee, but a ruler of the Pharisees, which is one of the most powerful positions to hold in Jewry. So the story is found in the Gospel of John. So if you brought your Bibles, open your Bibles to John chapter 3. If you wish to use the Bibles provided in the pew, please open them to page 862. And of course, we will always provide them on the screen for those of you at home and those of you here who are more appreciative of the larger font when it comes time for reading. I will ask that you join with me as we read from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Verse 1 begins saying, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him.' Jesus replied, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again.' 'How can someone be born again when they are old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born.' And Jesus replied, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, "You must be born again." The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.'" Nicodemus asked, "Well, how can this be?" And Jesus replied, saying, "You are Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I've not spoken to you of earthly things. I'm sorry, I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." It is our tradition at Green Forest United Methodist Church to conclude each reading saying, "This is the word of God for the people of God," and all respond saying, "Thanks be to God." Would you please join me in a short prayer? Almighty God, we come today and ask that your Spirit will minister to our hearts and minds, challenging us where we need to be challenged, equipping us and encouraging us where we need to be equipped and encouraged, edifying us in the places that we need to be edified. May your Holy Spirit speak through me in this time, this sermon time, so that all of us may grow ever closer to you. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now we see from this text that the spirit of curiosity has driven Nicodemus to seek a personal, intimate, and honest conversation with Jesus. The detail of him coming at night is not insignificant. While it is literally in the cover of night when Nicodemus pursues the conversation with Christ, it also speaks volumes metaphorically. Think about it. Many of us, with the spirit of suspicion, come to Jesus at the darkest moments of our lives. We come with confusion. We come with assumptions. We come refusing or at least pushing against the simplicity of the gospel message. And this causes us to imagine that if something too good is to be true, that it probably is. But when we allow our spirit of curiosity to take over that spirit of suspicion, well, that allows us to be openly guided to our interaction with God, where our Lord will never meet us with rejection, will always give us answers in truth and offer us freedom. Now, referring back to the text, Jesus does so by responding to Nicodemus' greeting by immediately cutting to the heart of the matter. Nicodemus, what he was really wanting to know in this conversation was one simple thing. What will it take, or what requirements are demanded to enter into this kingdom of God? And Jesus tells him that he must be born again. But this born again phrase, at least in the Greek, has a double meaning. Just as we understand that we are to live into the kingdom of God at hand and the kingdom of God that is still yet to come, to be born again has both temporal and eternal components. The temporal is to take on a new life and a new identity. The eternal is to be born from above, the heavenly place that the kingdom of God generates from. Now, different traditions express what this means in different ways. For example, evangelical Christians might say that to be born again only happens when one accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But Pentecostal and charismatic churches might say that one is born again when they are baptized in the Spirit and receive the gift of tongues as confirmation. And while the words may be different and the expectations vary, what they each hold in common is this: the understanding that God has entered into a person's heart, bringing that individual from darkness into light. Now, Nicodemus' original act of suspicion initially pushed against the simplicity of what Jesus was saying. And I think we have to acknowledge the man and where he was coming from, because everything that Jesus was saying and doing challenged Nicodemus' ideology and theology, his understanding of sociology and psychology, and Jewish philosophy. And remember, this guy wasn't some idiot. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the highest that you could be of a Jewish leader. Everything he held confidence in, everything that gave him meaning, everything that secured his identity was being challenged by the person and the message of Christ. But when Nicodemus embraced a spirit of curiosity, well, everything about him changed then. And this, my friends, is the design of the season of Lent. Lent is a spatial time whereby the believer intentionally seeks God afresh and new. It is a time where we let go of our spirit of suspicion. And listen, I'm not trying to be ugly to anybody here, but you live in the United States of America, it don't matter if you're a believer or a non-believer, we seem to be plagued with a spirit of suspicion about everyone and everything. This is a time for us to let go of that spirit and embrace a spirit of curiosity whereby the power of God moves us from the darkness of sin condition into the light of God's grace and abundance. Or in church terminology, it's about each of us intentionally growing in sanctification. And this is where I'd be remiss if I didn't remind each of us: embracing Jesus is not just a one-time choice. While faith in Him as the Son of Man and His work on the cross does usher into us the gift of eternal life, it does not guarantee us an abundant life in Christ. To have that demands more than just our initial choice or our initial belief. It requires a spirit of curiosity, void of a spirit of suspicion, so that the things of the Spirit are born, replacing those things that are born of the flesh within us. Now, Jesus wraps up this portion of the conversation with words that almost every person in the world has come to know as the hallmark of Christianity. And I hope that each of us can take comfort in those words shared to Nicodemus when Christ reminds him that he hadn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world from its own perils. You see, those verses should tell us that regardless of how we come to Jesus Christ, His reception is about us saving us from ourselves, not about judging us into condemnation. At least not on this side of heaven. The significance of this conversation, my friends, is not revealed until later in the gospel. If you've never read the Gospel of John, I encourage you to do so, and particularly pay attention to verse chapter 7 of the book and chapter 19. Do you know who it was that was advocating for Jesus against the injustice done to him by the Jews, the illegal accusations that were planned against him? It was Nicodemus in chapter 7. And do you know who helped Joseph of Arimathea bury Christ? It was Nicodemus. While it's not in the Gospels, I will share with you that I've read lots of information, texts that are about church history outside of Scripture. And it says that Nicodemus never wavered from his faith in Jesus so much that it not only cost him his position, but it cost him his citizenship. And he was buried in a location that was fit for only paupers and thieves. The spirit of curiosity that lived in Nicodemus helped him find not what he feared or anticipated, but something that was much more authentic. Curiosity, brothers and sisters, can be a tool of Lent, whereby we see what we couldn't imagine, allowing the love of God to spread to every corner of our heart, divesting ourselves of not only our false identities, but our suspicions that hinder us from being a channel of God's grace to others, so that you and I can become the true person or persons God desires for us to be. So are you willing to take this week's challenge on? Are you willing to be honest about where you've allowed a spirit of suspicion to have rule in your life and began to transition that over to a spirit of curiosity? For a spirit of curiosity will cause us to have a closer walk with Jesus. But a spirit of suspicion will only rob you of the gifts that God wants to share upon your life. Going back to Moses and David, if you look at those two gentlemen, one, Moses as a spirit of curiosity, and Saul, as a spirit of suspicion, you see that one leads to life and one leads to death. But as with all things in faith, that choice is up to you. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.